Lord, as we have read and heard these words from Mark's Gospel of the Palm Sunday account, words for some of us that are very familiar, for others may be very new. Lord, we pray that those words may come alive for us today, that they may come to have meaning for us in this beginning of Holy Week. We pray that this Palm Sunday may be a time not only of celebration, but a time of reflection and a time of commitment. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Whether you follow sports or not, you may be aware that we're in the season of college basketball's March Madness, the annual NCAA tournament, which starts with 68 teams and leads to the crowning of one champion school. Boston's TD Garden is hosting the East Regional Games this weekend. And 2 weeks ago, in the first round, something happened that had never happened before in March Madness. A number 16 seed upset a number 1 seed. And March Madness reached a new level of insanity. And this weekend, Loyola Chicago, an 11th seed, became one of four schools to have, at that level, to have ever made it to the Final Four. So some very big celebrations going on. There's been a lot of upsets. Anybody that made their charts out were basically blown away after the first weekend. But now, I want you to take that image, that mental image of champs joyously racing out to center court when the final buzzer sounds, and transfer that feeling, that image, to first century Jerusalem. The year is about 33 CE or AD. Buzz is building as thousands of Jews gather for their celebration of Passover in the holy city, celebrating the deliverance of God's people from slavery. A march, perhaps something like what took place yesterday in Washington, D.C., and in Boston, and in numerous communities around the world. That type of march is staged by Jesus and his disciples. And soon, there is madness, very unlike what took place yesterday. Just as fans make their bracket picks to try to guess who will be in the Final Four in college basketball, residents of Jerusalem were trying to figure out who would come out on top in first century Jerusalem. Some of the locals were betting on a new ruler who would establish the kingdom of their ancestor David. Others in Jerusalem wanted a religious leader, such as the high priest, to come out on top. The Romans' imperial political machinery wanted their appointee, Pilate, to keep the peace through a show of military force. And the disciples wanted Jesus to be their champion, but they were not exactly sure what his victory would look like. That is where we are today, on Palm Sunday 2018. We watch as Jesus marches into Jerusalem on a thrilling and unpredictable ride. Every opponent he faces is going to test him and try to defeat him. In this single elimination tournament, there are no do-overs and no second chances. We hope that Jesus will cut through the chaos and emerge as the champion. But what kind of winner do we want him to be? And what kind of champion does God want Jesus to be? The gospel writer Mark tells us that when Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, Jesus sent two of them ahead to find a colt. He said that if anyone questioned them, they were to say, "The Lord needs it. We'll send it back here immediately." That phrase, "the Lord needs it." What a surprising admission. Jesus needed a stranger to provide him with an animal so that he could make his march into the city. We wouldn't think that the all-powerful Son of God would need anything, but Mark reveals that he did. He needed a colt and a cooperative animal owner. Jesus was not going to enter Jerusalem under his own power, beating his chest and calling attention to himself. In basketball language, we would say that he was a team player, not a ball hog. So what does the Lord need from us? Probably not a colt. But what about our time, our energy, our efforts, and our talents? David Brooks, a columnist for New York Times, once wrote, About once a month, I run across a person who radiates an inner light. These people can be in any walk of life. They seem deeply good. They listen well. They make you feel valued. They are not thinking about what wonderful work they are doing. They are not thinking about themselves at all. Such people, says this author, have generosity of spirit and depth of character. They are people who say yes when Jesus asks them to contribute their time, their effort, and their talent. They don't think about themselves as much as they think about what they can do for others. And because of this, they are outstanding teammates for Jesus. Now, every successful team needs a leader. And Jesus did not resist playing that part. Mark tells us that many people in the crowd spread their cloaks or their coats on the road, and others spread leafy branches they had cut from the fields. And that's where the term Palm Sunday comes from. For all around him, people were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." In Old Testament times, people spread their coats on the road for a king to walk on. Sort of like a red carpet treatment, you might say. And the shouts of the crowd were clearly intended to identify Jesus as their king, the Son of David. Now, Jesus did not shy away from this role with some kind of false humility, but he embraced it. He entered Jerusalem as a leader, as a king. But what kind of leader is he? One commentator has said that Jesus is a leader who invests in people that others would have dismissed. A fisherman named Peter, a tax collector named Matthew, a woman named Mary who had 7 demons cast out of her. Ordinary people like us. That's who Jesus invested in. That's what Jesus was interested in. Jesus practices servant leadership most visibly when he washes the feet of his followers on the night of the Last Supper. And Jesus shares responsibility with others in a succession plan, telling his followers that they will have to carry on his work after he is no longer with them. Jesus is a leader who invests in people, serves them, and entrusts them with his work. He is a true champion because he looks beyond his own achievements to the continuation of his ministry and mission. Jesus was willing to suffer betrayal and arrest. He stood before the Jewish council and Pontius Pilate and said not a word when the crucifixion order was announced. Jesus knew that the earthly powers, we might call them opponents, were determined to eliminate him from contention. We may struggle with this because we expect champions to be victorious, to be happy, to be wealthy. We wear chance jerseys because we want to feel like winners. And when they suffer defeats, we tend to become fans of other players who may be more champion-like. But Jesus is a champion who trusts God through a week of defeats, walking faithfully to the cross. And he invites us to pick up our crosses and to follow him. This does not make us feel like winners, except in our relationship with God. Jerusalem March Madness ends with the chaos of the cross. Instead of making a winning shot at the buzzer, Jesus gives a loud cry and takes his last breath. But in a surprising turnaround, a Roman centurion looks up at him and says, "Truly, this man was God's son." No one saw that coming. An officer in the Roman Empire, the opposing team, sees that Jesus is the true champion. He identifies Jesus as the Son of God, victorious in his faithfulness to God. Jesus knows that trusting God is true success. And then the Roman centurion discovers that very same thing, and he affirms it. At the moment of his death, Jesus achieves victory. He demonstrates just how far he will go to show the endless, unconditional, and loving, saving love of God. And his success actually changes the heart of a Roman soldier. Our hearts can be changed as well. When we march with Jesus through Palm Sunday and Holy Week, we can listen for what the Lord needs from us, and we can respond. We can look to Jesus as our leader and be part of his succession plan for the ongoing ministry and mission. And we can stand at the foot of the cross, looking up to see success instead of defeat. Truly, this man is God's son. Champion of all time, worldwide winner. Not a Cinderella, but a savior. As we root for him, we can trust God in the same way that Jesus did through all the madness in life. Let's pray together. Lord, as we come on this Palm Sunday to shout our praises, we know what lies ahead of us. The madness lies ahead. We pray, O God, that as we journey through this week with Jesus, that we may identify with him. We may sense all of the feelings that he goes through this week. How his friends turn on him. How the crowd goes from shouting Hosanna to crucifying him. And yet, Lord, we know that he is a winner. For the Good Friday is not the end of the story. Lord, how we yearn for the good news of Easter. But we know that Easter has no power without the cross on Good Friday. So Lord, we just pray that you would journey with us this week, travel as we do, that we may experience all of the power of Holy Week, that we may experience the message of the cross, so that Easter truly is as joyous a celebration as it can be. Lord, we await the message of the empty tomb, but yet we need to journey with Jesus through the streets of Jerusalem and to the cross. And we pray that you'll be with us. Amen.